I find our theme, Do Not Be Afraid, interesting because I confess to you that I'm afraid about preaching to an empty sanctuary again. Someone said to me when we began virtual back in March, they said, it took you a few weeks to sort of get into that pattern, and I would agree. And then I got out of it, and now I have to get back into it. So I invite you to bear with me, be patient as we all work at finding our way through this new pattern. My encouragement for us today, as we think of do not be afraid, I would just say it this way, very plainly, do not be afraid to repent. And yet when I say that, I would assume like you, like me, like many of us, repentance is not a word that we really like to hear. The idea of repent, of being told to, you need to repent, is not something that most of us say, well, thank you, I was hoping you would say that. Repenting comes to us as a bit, probably for most of us, it sounds a bit harsh. Repenting sounds like something, well, we don't want to do. It makes us perhaps feel bad, or there's all kinds of things associated with it. And yet I want us to think today and to consider, do not be afraid, because perhaps repentance is a tremendous gift that we can receive. It's a tremendous gift that we can offer to ourselves. It's a tremendous gift that we can engage to find deeper meaning and deeper life with what God has for us. In this passage that we read, both of the passage of announcing John the Baptist's birth, as well as some of the work that John the Baptist did, we hear a good bit about the call to repentance and its likened to preparation. And I want us to just think about a while, what is the purpose of preparation? Many of us can think of things that we enjoy preparing for. And it seems a bit bittersweet to think of now, but because some of us probably find it hard, why prepare for Christmas? Because we're not going to be able to do it like we normally do. We normally like to prepare by getting lots of food and cookies and all kinds of things and getting ready to fill the house and have family and friends and have a week or two of just engaging people socially. And so that preparation in many ways would seem wasted. In other areas of preparation, I think of an area that I know so little about, and that would be in preparing a meal. I've noticed people who really enjoy cooking, who really enjoy doing that and do it well, that the preparation takes much longer than the consumption of the meal itself. That it can take hours to prepare and then sometimes even overnight to let things marinate, and yet it's gone so quickly. But the purpose is to get a good result at the end. The purpose of preparation is to make things turn out a certain direction. Something I do know about is preparing to paint. I enjoy painting, but the part of painting I enjoy least is the preparation, because that's where the real work is. And preparing in a good way allows the painting to look much better. Bad preparation cannot be fixed often by a good painter, but a less than good painter can paint over well-prepared walls and not be all that good, and it still turn out good. You see, in this passage, we're told, what is the purpose of preparation? What is the purpose of John's message? What is the purpose of repentance? It says it this way in Luke 3. It says, prepare the way of the Lord. It's to prepare for the Lord's coming. Make the path straight. Every valley filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. The idea is to make things ready so that God, as Jesus comes in the flesh, Jesus has what I would say easy access into our lives. It goes on to say, so that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You see, the purpose of this work of preparation is so that we might see the fullness of God. The purpose of preparation is so that we might encounter the living God. As Luke in chapter 1 talked to Zechariah and was telling about his son that would be born, it said the Holy Spirit will be upon him. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And later on it went on to say, he will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You see, the purpose of preparation, the purpose of repentance is to allow us what I would say, greater capacity to encounter the living God. Greater capacity to experience the fullness of God incarnate in us. Part of what I would suggest is that it would help us to understand that the purpose of repentance, the purpose of preparing in this way, is not to make us feel down or discouraged or depressed or say how bad we are, but it is to prepare us for a greater ending. Jesus, when he was here on earth, his message was continually, repent. Why? For the kingdom is near. He was saying, repent so that you put yourself in position to experience and to hear and to learn and to engage the kingdom. That being the presence of God, the abiding joy of Jesus, the abiding peace of the Spirit of the Christ child, the abiding hope of the one that we call Emmanuel. I want us to see and to consider this hard work of preparation that we'll get to in a little bit. The goal is tremendous. The ending is extremely positive and powerful. The challenge is, who is called to repent? I wouldn't be surprised if just when I say those words, some of us could think of particular people who we think may need to repent. We might think, I hope so-and-so's listening. Some of us might say, I hope my children are listening. Some may say, I hope my parents are listening. I hope my spouse is listening. I hope my sister is listening. We can fill in the gap. I hope my coworker is listening. But what we see in this passage is, in this passage, all are called to repentance. There is no separation. And in fact, this was one of the challenges that the people had when he came with this call of repentance. The Jewish mind, the good Jewish mind, could understand a repentance for the Gentiles, but they struggled to comprehend a sense that those good Jewish leaders, those people who go to synagogue, those people who followed the Torah, those people who knew the faith, those people who had followed and were strict adherents to what they thought they were supposed to be about, they could not even comprehend that the idea of repentance could come to them. We are reminded of this later on in Jesus' ministry, When the chief priests and the elders of the people came to Jesus and they were struggling with him and they challenged him. In Matthew 21, it records this. They asked him, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? Jesus said this to them, I will ask you one question. And if you answer me, then I'll answer you. Did the baptism of John come from heaven or was it of human origin? We are told they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why didn't you believe John? But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd because they regarded John as a prophet. So they said, we don't know. That was code for them saying this call that John gave of repentance didn't apply to us. And my encouragement is to understand that we don't need to be afraid that the call of repentance does apply to us. It applies to each and every one of us to search our hearts, to consider, to hear, to let God speak to us, to let the Spirit whisper in our hearts, to meditate, to give thought, and to say, is there an attitude in me? Is there an action in me? Is there a way in me that God may want to correct? Is there a way that God may want to make my path straight, fill up some valley, take away some hurt, take away some vengeance I have? Take away some bitterness so that make straight for my heart to be more filled by the kingdom and by the peace of the Christ child so that I can live that in the world in which I live. Who is called to repent? My answer is each and every one of us to invite and to listen and to let God speak that to us. And here's where it gets difficult. And this is where I think we get tripped up at times because we get confused with what repentance is and what it is not. I think we confuse repentance with confession. I would say confession is naming a struggle. Confession is saying something that we did inappropriately. Confession is acknowledging that we either did something wrong or have a wrong attitude. I would suggest repentance is a desire and a commitment to live differently. Repentance is a desire and a commitment to say, I'm going to find a new way to go about this. Many of us, this at a holiday season, it's typical, we may push back from the meal and we might easily confess, I ate too much. Most of us don't repent and say, I'm going to work to do differently the next time. Or if we say that, it only lasts till the beginning of the next meal. You see, repentance means a changed behavior. Repentance in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, repentance is always called for a completely new direction. It's walking a new way. It's taking step by step and making paths to go differently. As it says, prepare the way of the Lord. Every valley shall be filled. You see, there's something happening in there. It's just not just a statement. I would suggest that repentance takes a different way of approaching life. It's interesting in this passage, as John, as we see from Luke chapter 3, when John's out there preaching and he says to the crowds, come out and be baptized. They start coming, and I'm always intrigued by this. They start coming, and what does he say to them in verse 7 of chapter 3? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's not a very pastoral message. But what he was getting at was he sensed that they were just coming along, I would perhaps say, in a more of a sense of what we might call confession. They were wanting to have a good show. They were wanting to say, well, okay, we'll go along with what John is saying. You know, we'll show because we don't want the people to not see us as leading this. You know, after all, we're leaders of the people. And yet he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But then he said this, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Bear fruit. In other words, what I would say, it's just like when we go back to the work of preparation. Preparation takes time. Preparation does not just happen. Like I talked about the person who cooks a wonderful meal. It didn't happen just because they're gifted. And there are people gifted in that. But it also takes their time to work things out. It takes planning. It takes forethought. It takes buying the ingredients, putting them together, letting some chill, letting some get warm, letting some marinate, putting them together at just the right time, pulling it together like a tremendous orchestra. That's what he's saying. Preparation takes time. It takes work. It takes effort. In our culture of instant everything, in our culture of not waiting for anything, whether that be watching TV on the DVR and be able to fast forward through all the commercials, or watching on Netflix where there are no commercials. We want everything to be instantaneous right away. Waiting in our minds is almost like an evil word. And yet the work of preparation takes time. It means waiting. It means putting forth the effort. It makes committing ourselves to walk a new way. Just like if we try to learn something new, it takes time to do that. And the good news is that's all that God asks of us. God doesn't ask of us to be perfect at it. God does not ask us to do it well. The good news is we can try and fail, but the call is to keep working at it. That's the heart of repentance. That's the heart of what God calls us to be about. That's what John the Baptist says, and this is what we're called. Don't be afraid to engage that process. Don't be afraid to let God speak to you and to say, I want to go a new path. Don't be afraid if others say, oh, you tried that before and you didn't do it. Don't be afraid of failure. I think there are many things that hinders our ability to repent in our current culture. One of them I hinted at already, and that is repentance is not fast enough for most of us. Transformation is not fast enough for most of us. It's not instantaneous enough. It takes too long because it takes a lifetime. But also some other things I think that have shaped it and made it difficult for our ability to repent is that we have viewed faith as what I would call a transactional rather than a relational reality. We look at it as transactional, as this, and I'm not arguing this sense that Jesus has set the tone and Jesus has paid. We look at the cross and we often talk in language, and we even sing songs that talk of languages at all being complete. And so we've developed this sense that it's all done and we're just the beneficiary of something good God has done for us. There's a truth to that, but it's not the full truth. Our faith is not simply transactional, but it is relational, and it invites us to join into that journey. It is also difficult. Another thing that I think hinders our ability to repent is we struggle to walk alongside of one another in the midst of repentance because we would rather fix people than walk with them in their pain. We would rather fix people immediately and say, well, I think that's all better now. I can move on to another project and fix. Rather than walk through the ups and downs of a journey. I've learned a great deal from people recovering from alcoholism or other isms. And one of the things that I've learned from them is they expect people to fail. You see, when we fix people, we don't expect that to happen. I think one of the journeys of the Christian faith is we need to understand all of us do fail and will fail, and so we need to learn how to walk with one another in that very way. Another thing that I think makes it hard to walk with the repentance that hinders our ability to repent is image. We think of that old prayer, who's in the need of that old spiritual, who's in the need of prayer? Not my father, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord. I think we struggle to say that it's me, Lord, who needs a new heart. It's me, Lord, who is struggling. It's me, Lord. And we can fill in the blank. Another piece that I think makes it hard is we struggle with repentance because we know intuitively we may not get what we want. You see, the challenge when he says to repent, when we're upset about something, when there's something that we think needs to happen, when we really are if it's in a relational challenge or in a conflict, something, we and God says to us, you know, maybe it's your attitude that repent. We say, yes, but they're still getting away with this. And we can go all kinds of in different directions and rationale, and some of them may even be correct. And so we know if we genuinely repent, we may not get what we want. But then we need to go back to remember the purpose of preparation for the kingdom is that when we repent, it allows God to fill us. Maybe not get what we want, but we'll be filled with the living presence of Emmanuel, of the peace, the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter to be with us as we walk along life. One of the things that I'm going to make an assumption about, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. And I say this, I know I'm probably wrong, particularly with families who have small children in the midst of this pandemic, because I think they probably have more stressors and more challenges to overcome. And I don't want to diminish that, I acknowledge that. But for those of us who do not have that, many of us probably have more time on our hands of quiet solitude that perhaps we don't know what to do with. And even those of us who have that more stress of how to handle virtual school, not virtual school, how to handle childcare in the midst of working and all of those things, can we take the time and to ask God, to say, Lord, what is the message that we need to hear about repentance? What is it that we fear? And might you give us such a powerful reminder and vision how you invite us to live into this, that you wanted to prepare us so that you can more fully enter our lives. I believe at this time in our culture, in the pandemic, in the challenges, there is no greater gift we need than that living presence of God. Will we repent wherever God calls us to make room for that to happen where we're at? Let us pray.